Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Coming to you on Tuesday night, by the time many of you listen to this, I will be airborne on my way to San Antonio, Texas for a couple days. As a reminder, the weekend show will air on Saturday, not on Friday. And so I will not be present at media opportunities Wednesday. There won't be any on Thursday. That's the NCAA mandated day off, or Friday. But we will get a chance to speak to Jeff Lebby on Sunday after the scrimmage. Now, Lebby is scheduled to speak on Wednesday. So we'll get in twice this week. And so Justin Frommer and Mike Nemeth will take care of that for us. We'll have the day off on Thursday. Dave Murray will be back and rejoining our coverage team for Friday, and we'll get some player interviews. So we'll have video and all that kind of stuff too. And a reminder that all of our big room team coverage stuff is free. So whether you're a member of jeanspage.com or not, you should be. But even if you're not, you can view the videos of your players and coaches for free. We embed them in every article that we write. And again, all the Big Room articles are free too. But if you just want to watch the press conferences, you go to the front of Gene's page and scroll down to featured videos, and you can find those videos and watch until your heart is content. Okay? So speaking of that kind of stuff, I normally don't do this, but something has kind of got my dander up a bit. And I want to discuss this with you all. And I would like some action from you, okay? Just so you guys know, I would like some action from you. What we're trying to do here is to protect the integrity of this particular operation. What I mean by that is that there is a page out there on Facebook. It's called Mississippi State Sports Fan HQ. Mississippi State Sports Fan HQ. Now, these people do not staff the beat. Basically, what they do is they take our work and the work of our colleagues, and they push it into an AI program, and they spit out an article. Now, some of you have kind of caught on here, right? Some of you have kind of caught on and said, hey, something's not right with this. You know, something's kind of funky with this, and it's because of the fact it's not a real person writing all this stuff. And basically, it's a Facebook page they have set up to push this content out in hopes that you will follow it and read it so they can monetize the content. And of course, on their page, they sell some Mississippi State merch. I don't know if it's licensed or not, but these people, and I bring this up. It's not just about us, but it's everybody that is on our beat that works hard to bring you timely information about your team. And these people do not deserve your follow, your like, your eyes, any of that. And so I'm asking you, unfollow and unlike the page. Some of you, since I made a post on Facebook about it, have elected to block the page. That's cool too. That kind of takes care of all of it. Just block the page, right? Because of the fact these people are clickbait bandits, and we should protect journalism. We should. And there have been some national companies in recent years that have been caught using AI to try to fool you guys, and that's kind of what we've got here. That's my opinion of the whole thing. And I think it's important that the people that actually go to the trouble to do their jobs deserve to be rewarded, whether you like us or not. And you should, because we're awesome. But the Clarion Ledger, the Columbus Dispatch, you know, we got some friends with the networks that, you know, hey, we go out there and we sweat. We go out there and watch practice and, you know, post some observations for you and interview your coaches and players. And those are the people that should be rewarded with your viewership and readership, not these other people that are basically taking our work and just kind of paraphrasing things through an AI filter and program to change things. So I'm going to ask you, just block the page. You know, I'm not saying you got to come spend all your time and effort with us, but those people are not worthy of your patronage. So my rant about that is over. And speaking of rants, I had several of you that contacted me about my Robertson rant the other day. You know, and said, hey, Steve, I agree. And I suspect the people that don't agree probably wouldn't contact me. But mainly the talk about how we treat women, right? And that is something that I am always going to be an advocate for. I'm here's the thing. I may not share your same political views, you know, when it comes to that sort of stuff. I have always said that women should be respected and revered. You know, I don't know how you feel about women, you know, but I would not be the person I am today without some incredible women in my life, those that raised me, those that dated me, and the one that married me, not to mention the young ladies that I've raised into be very strong and independent women as well. So those are my feelings, and many of you obviously agree, but I will never, ever, 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 ever be in a situation where I just kind of let a woman be mistreated. I won't. And, you know, it may cost me some drama at some point, but it is very difficult for me not to say anything. I remember when me and my agent were eating, and I won't say where, because I don't want to point anybody out, you know, but we were eating a meal after a book event, and I'd gone to speak. And we went to eat at the local place, and it was fabulous. It was. And as I get up to go, you know, you make your order, and I went to the restroom, wash my hands, that kind of stuff, prepare to eat a meal. Not that you need to know all that stuff. But as I'm walking back, I don't know what happened, right? But there was a guy and a girl in an argument. And it wasn't very heated, but it was very disrespectful. And she was very embarrassed. And I could not help myself from having to say a little something. Said, I asked her, ma'am, are you okay? And apparently he didn't like that, but it didn't really escalate. But, you know, you never know what somebody's dealing with. And so I just shared that because that's how I feel. And I hope that you're so inclined to respect women. Absolutely respect women. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company. I have eaten a lot with the Eat With Us group as of late. You know, one of my favorite things to do, and this is not Bulldog Burger Company related. We'll get to that in a second. But I love to get the lunch special at Harvey's to go. Like, I'll go up there after football and spend a little time with Dana and upload videos. And I'll say, hey, let's go grab some Harvey's, and I'll go get it. And they do such a good job packaging that stuff up for you. You know, some people don't like their food to touch. We don't have to worry about that with this. They do such a good job with it. But I've had the hamburger steak here recently. I've had the meatloaf recently, and that, which, you know, you got to have mashed potatoes with both. Had the broccoli bites the other day. Had mushrooms today. You know, I love it, man. I love it. Bulldog Burger Company. Too, let me remind you too, the new comeback burger only available during the month of August. My hope is they will make that a regular menu item. It is fabulous. And I shared their Facebook page, and then I came back after I ate it, and I said, you know what, hey, their Facebook post. I said, you know, this is a winner. And it is. It absolutely is. It's one of the things that I love about Bulldog Burger Company. Sometimes I may look at the menu and say, you know, it's an interesting combination. I don't know if that works. And then I eat it, I'm like, yeah, they know what they're doing. Let me just sit here and dine and enjoy the fine cuisine available to Bulldog Burger Company. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer, though I will admit, the other day I had the wings, very, very substantial portions there as well. But, you know, maybe you need a little boost to your beauty regimen. That's the spring rolls. They will make you and everybody around you better looking. But I love going in there and getting food. I'm like a kid, man. It's like, hey, we're going to Bulldog Burger Company. That's what we're going to do. Bulldog Burger Company for lunch. I love it. And that's what I shall have. That's what I shall partake in is Bulldog Burger Company. And your kids feel the same way. It's true. Don't deny them the joy of putting their feet under the Bulldog Burger Company table. You can even have a glass of wine, perhaps an adult beverage. But everybody needs to get that great restaurant quality hamburger. Be sure and check it out as soon as you can if you hadn't already. If not, we're ready for you to make a return trip. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, I will share with you kind of some takeaways from our media opportunities the last couple days. And it's been players. And so we had two yesterday and three today. One of the things, you know, during the recruiting process, you kind of get to know players a little bit. You kind of get to know them. And, of course, once they commit, you know, they're all excited. But it's interesting to find out kind of how things stand with them once they get here. And it's so interesting. Like, we had Brian Lanier, former East Mississippi Community College Lion, Scuba Tech, stand up. We had him, and very, very impressed with him. You know, and he's a guy that's kind of bounced around a little bit. You know, started out at Georgia State, went to Alabama, wound up at East Mississippi. Now he's at Mississippi State. You know, we've got some journeymen out of the portal and out of junior college. You know, Brandon Jennings, another guy that's got a pretty pretty colorful closet when you think about all the school colors that he's worn. But Lanier just seems to be a guy, like you look, we talk about guys being dudes. You know, the thing that I have learned about people is, you know, what you do in small things, you do in big things. You know, there's some people that say, well, you know, I'm not going to give my best effort because it's really not a big deal. You know, I think it's a point of pride to always give your best in things big and small. Successful people, that's how they operate. And you get a sense just kind of being around Lanier, he gets the small stuff. Like, you know, coming up and talking to all the media guys afterwards, you know, showing us respect. Not that we deserve it, you know, right? I mean, we're people too, but I don't need somebody to come up there and pat me on the back and tell me I'm doing a great job. But when people come out there and just show respect that you're not expecting, it's a pretty cool thing. Kelly Jones spoke today too. Now, those of you that have been Gene's Page subscribers for a few years, you know that I put the first wheel on that bandwagon with Kelly Jones. And I'm going to go back a little bit with this too, and I'm not sitting here trying to toot my own horn, but I'm just going to kind of give you some backstory here. So when Kelly Jones was the quarterback at Clarksdale High School, I had somebody send me his video shortly after his junior season. And I watched the video, and I was like, man, this guy is explosive. How fast is he running? Because when he breaks into the open field, he just runs away from people. You think, well, it's quality competition, but it's not. I mean, it's not like that. You know, Clarksdale plays, you know, the Louisiana School of Math and Science. You know, Clarksdale is in a pretty rugged region. And the more that I watched, the more that I was intrigued with Kelly Jones. I'm like, look, how big is this kid? And you look at him and you watch him and you say, you know what? Hey, this guy, not only is he straight line fast, he's got a little wiggle to him too. And you see that the catch radius, you think, maybe this guy's a receiver. I don't know. And so I go to find the kid on social media, look through the offers, and I see it's all junior college stuff. And so I reach out to Kelly. I'm like, hey, you know, kind of what's going on? You know, I'm Steve Robertson, running the Mississippi State side of 247 Sports. And he was elated, obviously, because he had kind of told an obscurity. It had some great numbers at Clarksdale High School, but yet wasn't getting a lot of traction. And so I call Henry Johnson, the head coach of Clarksdale High School. I've known a long time. Matter of fact, Henry helped me put the combine together. We did it at Kahoma a few years ago. Shout out to our friend Reggie Hankerson. But I'm like, Coach, you know, listen, does this kid have grade issues? You know, I don't want to go blow him up if this is a kid that's destined for junior college. But it's just interesting to me, as great as his film is, that he doesn't have anything really more than junior college stuff. I think he's better than that. And Henry's like, you know, Steve, I feel exactly the same way, and no, he doesn't have academic issues. And you're like, okay, all right, so what's the deal, Pickle? What's the problem? And he's like, well, you know, people just aren't sure where they want to play him. They're just not exactly sure. You know, is he a wide receiver? Is he DB? People want to get him in camp. And I remember, you know, talking to a few people, and I'm like, hey, we don't need to wait around on this guy to let him get a bunch of offers, because all of a sudden we're going to be in a fight that's probably unnecessary. Well, he comes to camp, works out as a DB, and was great. He was great. Guys, this guy is like 6'4", 185 pound, and runs a legit 4'4", and sub 4'4", 40. He won the fastest man competition on the Mississippi State campus. Absolutely outstanding. A guy that grew up favoring Mississippi State. And in the end, you know, we beat Arkansas State for him, and then Ole Miss comes in late, and there was all this drama with him. It's like, hey, Ole Miss is going to, you know, try to flip him late, and they don't. And Greenwood really is Bulldog country. But based on a 247 Sports composite, ended up being the number 7 player in the state. Now, in our own rankings, 247 rankings, he was number 9. And so ends up being a top 10 prospect within the state. And now that he's on the Mississippi State campus, people can't stop talking about it. People are like, you know what? Hey, Steve, what's the deal with this guy? You know, what's happening with Kelly Jones? And it's so interesting. You know, I go back and, you know, look at the people that were ahead of him. So, like, John Slaughter, the safety from South Haven, went to Tennessee. Bray Hubbard, remember him? Great guy. Bray Hubbard's a great guy. But, you know, of course, he committed to Alabama, so he gets the Bama bump there. Jonathan Davis, remember him? Do you remember him? The big fight between State and Ole Miss at the end to get him out of Lawrence County. He picked Mississippi State, spent a year here. Things didn't work out. He goes in the portal, goes to Southern Miss, and now he's left Southern Miss. Ty Jones, number 5 player in the state. And Ty got here and had some, I think, like 3 very close family members die in like a month's time. And he went home to take care of his family. Man, you hate it. Dante Dowdell, of course, committed to Oregon and then eventually hit the portal. Maybe that's not a surprise to people. Now he's at Nebraska. Isaac Smith, of course, currently a Bulldog. Expected some big things from him. And then Aiden Williams goes to Ole Miss, wide receiver. Liked him a lot. And then, of course, get Perkins, number 1. Eager to see what he can do on the field this year at Ole Miss. But so Kelly's behind some of those guys. And some of them, even now, you know, with a little time under our belt, you look back and say, okay, some of this I get. But it's kind of interesting that some of the guys ahead of him have already moved on, right? There's 3 guys that either have given up football or transferred. And that's the world we live in, right? But Kelly's changed his number. He's number 1 now. And he said that some of his teammates have just told him, hey, you're 1 of 1. Got an opportunity to be a first-rounder someday. When you have guys that have his makeup, and that was one of the things, there were so many people trying to tell me I was wrong, and I'm going to say I told you so here. People are like, oh, he's going to be a safety. I think he's perfectly capable of playing safety, but a lot of people said he should play safety because they didn't think he could play corner. He can absolutely play corner. And to hear him speak and the confidence and passion in which he articulates himself is very encouraging. Eager to see what he can do on the field. Listen, there'll be some bumps along the way. But guys, Kelly Jones is an NFL guy. He is absolutely an NFL guy. Has the size, the length, the speed, the quickness, the reaction time. You know, we used to talk about people could flip their hips, you know, which is kind of an overrated type thing. And that's what happens. A lot of people, they pick up a word in their recruiting vernacular from a coach. And they just kind of start repeating it. And it's like you hear that all the time. You know, football games, people hear something and just kind of repeat it to make it sound like they're more of an insider. But here's the thing about Kelly Jones that I think stands out with him, and I'm eager for you guys to kind of see him in action. And, you know, it snaps, it really matter. But Kelly Jones has incredible recovery speed. Incredible recovery speed. And it's difficult to explain. We talk about guys that have, you know, a need for football. He made mention today. He goes, man, I got to get my mom out of those apartments. And it kind of breaks your heart to hear that, right? That's a lot of pressure for a young man to carry. It truly is. But I go back to the old Mike Leach adage, you know, you want people that need football. Kelly Jones needs football. And Mississippi State needs Kelly Jones. And again, he's a redshirt freshman this year, you know. And so, you know, we'll kind of see how things, you know, play out with him. But yeah, he was in the class of 2023, you know. And so it's one of those things that I think about when you're evaluating Mississippi kids, especially when it's kind of tucked away, you know, maybe, and Clarksdale's a known high school, right? I mean, it's not like, you know, he's playing, you know, at some brand new academy or something and people don't know the direction to the school. But when I think about guys like Kelly Jones, I think, you know, there's a ton of those kids in the state of Mississippi. And they're not all going to be as well put together as Kelly Jones. But you can't look at guys like him and say, you know what, I'm going to base my evaluation on him based on an offer sheet. Especially when a guy like him commits to the in-state school early, because you know what's going to happen? People are like, you know what? You know, he's a quarterback and I have to learn to play corner. Do I get enough juice for the squeeze? Am I going to go in there and go head-to-head with State or Ole Miss because of the fact that this is a young man that's already committed to an in-state school? It's so tough to beat the Mississippi schools for a guy. But maybe you don't exert as much effort because of the fact that you know, this is a guy that's going to be going through a position change. You know, get Perkins, completely different dynamic, right? I mean, it's like, hey, this guy's played running back and played some linebacker. You know, and in many respects, those positions have a lot of the same skill sets, right? And so, you know, Aiden Williams, you know, hey, yeah, I'm going to go chase that guy because he is a high school wide receiver and he projects as a receiver. So I'm not going to have to get this guy on the other side of the football and determine if he has a defensive mentality. I'm not going to have to go teach him, you know, the nuances of the game. But a guy like Kelly Jones is like, hey, he's playing quarterback because he is the best athlete on the team. You know, you remember there was a time that we thought Gabe Miles was going to be a DB. Matter of fact, we even put his dad's number on him. It didn't take long. We moved him back to offense. Proved to be a good thing. Jamion Lewis initially expected to be a corner. We move him back to offense. That's one thing that I give Dan Mullen a lot of credit for. You know, he put his most explosive players on offense. And it worked. And I look at a guy like Kelly Jones and it's like, you know, hey, what could you do with him? You know, what could you do with him positionally? And I think when you guys see him, and again, you can go watch the interview yourself for free and kind of hear what he has to say. You know, this is a guy that's going to match up with a lot of the top X receivers in the Southeastern Conference. So he's going to get a baptism by fire pretty early on. But when I think about a guy from the Mississippi Delta that is playing for mama, he was playing for a future that understands, like he says, you know, I know that I can't mess with Corey Bell. I know that I can't go out there and play with Coach Bell. I know that. I know that I can't go out there and not give anything less than my best. You know, typically, those young men win in life. Not just in football, but in life. And so when you see him out there, and you know, some of you that are, you know, astute followers of Mississippi State sports, maybe you saw him last year a little bit, but you're going to see him play a much more prominent role this year. And I think this is a young man that's going to make us all proud. Mac Pounders, also came and spoke today. We have a chance to talk with him kind of off the record, too, when it's all said and done. Not that he needed to share anything that, you know, was unscrupulous or anything. But this is a young man that is very happy that he's home. And what I mean by that is that Macalen Pounders has said countless times, worst mistake I ever made was decommitting from Mississippi State. Now, when he joined us again out of the transfer portal, that was one thing that we had talked about. You know, State got back involved with him when he hit the portal. And he was nervous about it. He wondered if anybody was holding a grudge. Yeah, there's a new staff here, but there's still some off-the-field staffers that are still here from the Leach era. And Mac was worried about that. He's like, hey, you know, I don't know if they'll accept me. And he says, as soon as I take my visit and I get out of my truck, it's like everybody was like a family reunion. And watching his mannerisms and watching how he handles things and watching how excited he is about everything involved in Mississippi State football, it excites me. Because this is where he should have been all along. Now, you may have forgotten the story. I'll give you a quick recap. He was committed to Mississippi State for much of the process. Mason Miller did a great job with him. And then later in the process, of course, Ole Miss kept flirting with him and kept flirting with him. And basically, he was a pawn in a political chess game. Right? It's like, I want to get our name in the paper. We're going to flip a kid from Mississippi State just to kind of show that we're the big brother. Right? And that's what happened. But ultimately what happened is just before signing day, the day before signing day, he shows up and he asks Coach John Danley at Byhalia High School, Coach, do you have my letter of intent from Ole Miss? And of course he didn't have it. And so they get on the phone and Ole Miss is like, hey, we're not going to be able to sign him. Well, he'd served his purpose, right? And so then everybody gets on the phone and makes calls. And ultimately he was able to get a spot at Memphis. He went up there. And had a good couple of years. Matter of fact, he came and played against us and got banged up on that very first drive and wasn't able to play. But he said, you know what, that was one of those things, too, that made me realize, you know, I was probably in the wrong uniform. Nothing against the folks at Memphis. They treated him well. But he wanted the opportunity to play in a Southeastern Conference. And he goes, hey, he even told us today. He goes, you know, as soon as I went in the portal, I started hearing from Auburn, you know. And at the end of the day, Mississippi State's where I wanted to be. And then even at the very end, Auburn came in late trying to flip him, you know. And so this wasn't a situation where McCalum Pounders comes to Mississippi State by default. He chooses Mississippi State because he believes this is his institution. You know, you've heard me say it before. I don't want anybody from the cleaning staff to the coaching staff that is here and doesn't think it's the greatest thing ever. And so when I hear Lanier and Kelly Jones and so many others, Hunter Washington, talk about how much they love it at Mississippi State, I take it to heart. Because I don't want players that are just here because they had nowhere else to go. I know you feel the same way. You want people to choose Mississippi State, not people to just commit to Mississippi State because it's the best offer standing. You know, you want them to come here because they view that before their options may become a little more limited. And so I encourage you to go back and watch those videos. I think you'll be glad that you did. Or go, if you can't watch, just go read. You know, we transcribe it, make a feature out of it too. Mike Nemeth runs a Q&A. You know, we make it easy. Whether you want to watch it, you can. Well, you want to read it, you can. We do both. We used to kind of pick and choose, and it was lazy of us to do that. We work harder now than we ever have. But when I think about the fact that, you know, we had 19 interviews last week, you know, 10 assistant coaches, 8 players, and, of course, Jeff Lebby. And you look at this week, we've already had, you know, already had 5, you know. And so, and today's Tuesday. 2 on Monday, 3 on Tuesday. We'll get Levy on Wednesday, and of course we're off on Thursday, and we'll get players Friday and Saturday, and then Levy again on Sunday. And so I share that too because I have heard and seen, you know, some complaints about access. And short of us not getting to watch a ton of practice, you know, we're actually doing better than most of our SEC peers. And it's funny, somebody brought up, and I think practice is the most important. Do you realize the people that I work with, and I don't just mean the people that work with Gene's page, and the people on the Mississippi State beat, as I shared on the message board today, and you know, Leach allowed wide open practices. You could show up 30 minutes before practice and stay 30 minutes after it was over, and like only a couple of us came. And a lot of people that only came when it was time to do interviews. Now, they would lead you to believe that they went to practice, but they were just there for like the last 5-10 minutes, just kind of waiting, you know, for practice to end. Not to mention, some of the people that have worked in the print media, you know, they don't really know what they're looking at anyway. And that's not, and maybe it is, it's critical, but I think a lot of people are thinking, hey, you ought to be able to go to reserve practice because that's where it's all at. They're not going to show us anything in practice. Like even in elite years, we could take pictures until they went to team. No pictures or video in team. And the truth of the matter is, Mike Leach really didn't care about a lot of stuff. But when you got Jeff Lepe, his very first head coaching opportunity, he's going to be a little bit careful, right? You know, I think in the spring, you know, you're working through your install. Now you're kind of working through some things now to kind of get things changed up a bit. You know, you're beginning to kind of narrow the field a little bit when it comes to your depth chart. You know, and listen, guys, sometimes there's a fight out there. And that may seem like, oh, I can't believe that. It happens on every practice field in the country at every level. Middle school, high school, college, NFL, you see it all the time, making the rounds. You know, so it's not something that's atypical. But when it happens, when you're there, you know, people really don't want that stuff getting out. But I remember a time years ago, you know, Dan Mullen didn't care either. You know, Dan didn't mind when he came to practice. Other times he kind of went, got a little bit, you know, cagey. But I remember when Nick Jones nearly took Dak Prescott down in a practice. Like, he kept, you know, he tripped one time and nearly took Dak's legs out from under him in a drill, in team drills. And so David Turner tells him, hey, stay off the quarterback. Make sure you're clear of the quarterback. Well, then, next thing you know, like two plays later, Nick Jones comes knifing in, loses his balance, and falls into Dak. And then Dan Mullen runs up there and absolutely chews him up one side and down the other. And then gave David Turner a little bit of an earful, too, and tells him, you know, you stay off my quarterback. And sends Nick off the field, you know. Those things happen. But you don't video it with your phone and then push it right out to Twitter, you know. There are some things that are sacred. You know, the discipline from a coach to player in a situation like that, really, you know, at the time it doesn't need reporting. We can talk about it kind of in hindsight. And, you know, Nick ended up being a good player for us. Nick James, you know, probably should be in the National Football League. I remember watching him for the first time at the U.S. Army Combine out in San Antonio. And I'm like, this kid is a freak. What are we going to be able to get him? What, a kid from Mississippi Gulf Coast? He's from the coast? You kidding me? Had a lot of issues. He did. Had some behavioral stuff. He had to kind of grow up a little bit, but got himself in shape and came to Mississippi State and, you know, played some big snaps for us. But, I'm glad we get to see some of that stuff from time to time. And, again, as Jeff Lebby and his staff get a little more comfortable, right, I suspect that we'll get a chance to view more practice. But, again, two opportunities this week. You know, and we did post a photo gallery. I want to apologize for those of you that haven't been able to kind of navigate through that. It's the first time I've used that feature. We're going to do it differently the next time. So next time you see a photo gallery pop up, don't think, oh, well, the way they did that, it's just difficult for me to navigate that on my phone. For some reason, it just didn't interface well with everybody. And so rather than have you go make a change on your phone, I'm just going to change the way we do things, make it easier for everybody. That's what we're going to do. And so be looking for those next week when we have another opening. Again, we'll have an opportunity to watch practice this week, and I won't be there because, again, I'm going to be in San Antonio. Business trip. Be excited about kind of where we are. It's okay to have some enthusiasm and say, hey, I'm looking forward to football season. We don't have to sit here and kind of buy into whatever the SEC pundits have to say. Are we going to win the SEC? Absolutely not. Are we going to be fun to watch? Yeah, I think so. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. If life is throwing you a curveball and you're looking for a life reset, maybe you're having to move, maybe you got relocated, maybe your relationship didn't work out the way you'd hoped, or maybe it did, I don't know. Either way, maybe you're looking for a new place to live. Blair Chandler can assist you with that when it comes to having the dream of home ownership come through. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Blair Chandler, 23 years of experience. This is a guy that knows how to get loans structured the way underwriters like, right? And if you're looking for a home for the first time, there's a little trick of the trade that most people don't tell you. Get pre-qualified. Yeah, go ahead and get your financing in place before you stop shopping, before you start shopping, because you may be looking at homes above your means. You need to know where you're looking at. That also gives your real estate agent, and we have some amazing real estate agents in the Mississippi State family that can kind of help you. It's like, hey, now we know what we're looking for. We know what the parameters are. Let's go find you somewhere to live, some place that you can plant some roots and call your own. It's true. But Blair Chandler, at closeatblair.com, can make things happen for you when perhaps other people can't. We're looking for a game day condo, looking to refi. You know, maybe you want to take advantage of, some reduced interest rates. You know, the economy's not always what it should be. But no matter where you are in life, you need somewhere to live. You do. And rather than throw your money away on the hamster wheel of renting, let Blair make you a homeowner. You deserve it. Let's close at Blair.com. Okay, I teased this, and I had a couple people that said, hey, Steve, go, do it. And it's top rock songs with acoustic intros. Now, one of the things, too, I'm going to give you a couple disclaimers. I tried to stay away from classic rock. And you know, classic rock to me is like stuff that was like released in my childhood or before, right? Because if we're just going to talk about, you know, great acoustic intro, we could just say Stairway to Heaven and call it a day, right? So I kind of avoided most of that. And I got to make an adjustment to my list here. I got vetoed. And I agree, right? I agree. I had the wrong song number one, and I'll get to that. But incredible. Okay, so, but I also, these aren't ballads, right, for the most part. I mean, there's one song that is kind of up-tempo and kind of turns into a ballad. But these are acoustic intros that go into very rocking songs. Are you with me? Also, I didn't rank these based on the technical application or performance. I just kind of went with what I thought was cool, because some of these are really not, you know, something that you need, you know, a flamenco guitar player to play. It's not exactly, you know, very difficult, but it just kind of sounds cool. And so that was really what I went into. I was like, hey, what are some cool songs that have acoustic intros? That's really my barometer here. Because I know when I put this out there, people are going to be like, hey, that acoustic intro is only a few bars, Steve. I just think it's cool, okay? And you may have a difference of opinion, and that's okay. So here we go. With no further ado, because we're not going to go the full 90 minutes today, because I got things I got to do, and I got to get into bags. I got to get up early and get on a plane, and you guys know me well enough to know I'm not a great flyer. I'm not. But here we go, number 10. And many of you probably wouldn't even think about this because it's a little bit different. It's Blue Murder. The song is Jelly Roll. You say, Steve, Blue Murder. Yeah, that was John Sykes' band after he got kicked out of Whitesnake. Of course, John Sykes was part of Thin Lizzy, spent some time with Foreigner. This is a great song. And from the very first time I heard it, I was like, hey, this is kind of groovy, man. The next thing I know, we kind of break into a power ballad. And John Sykes is basically pouring his soul out. I don't know who hurt John Sykes. Maybe it was one of you, and shame on you if you did. But he gets into this chorus, and it's like, you know, only love can break your heart. And there's a line in there, too, where he says, you know, words can't say how much I miss you. I mean, there are times that we have been in that situation. It's a very relatable song. Number 10, Blue Murder's Jelly Roll. And I can guarantee you, nobody listening to this show expected to hear that today. Number 9, I couldn't put a list together like this without including Randy Rhoads. Couldn't do it. And it's going to come in at number 9 because I like some of the other songs better. And some of you are going to say, Steve, it's blasphemy. No, it's not. But it's Diary of a Madman from Ozzy Osbourne at number 9. Great technical proficiency. Randy, of course, was a classically trained guitarist that kind of became a prodigal son in many respects. You know, kind of left classical guitar and then used what he had learned to really revolutionize rock music in many respects. Number 8, one of my favorite bands, and there's a brand new song out from Mark Tremonti today. I got to hear a little snippet of it yesterday. I haven't had time to listen to it today, but new Tremonti is out. But we're going to go to and Mark Tremonti, the best guitarist of this generation. If you don't know him, you're missing out. The Tremonti solo albums are great, but the Alter Bridge stuff is better. And we're going back to Cry of Achilles from Alter Bridge at number 8. This is absolutely mesmerizing. All right, number 7. I initially had this higher on the list, and the more that I discussed this with some other people, I was convinced to move it down. I love the song. Matter of fact, it was the first favorite from Pantera for me. It's Cemetery Gates at number 7. Cemetery Gates and Pantera, number 7. Reverend, you know, is this some conspiracy? Love that track, man. It's not as good as Cowboys from Hell, though. They just don't have the acoustic intro to that one. And you may not know this, but I have a CFH tattoo somewhere on my body. All right, number 6. I mentioned this the other day when we were talking about this list, that this needed to be on here, and I thought maybe this is number 1. It's not number 1. It's number 6. And Janie Lane's brother wrote this. It's the great track Uncle Tom's Cabin. And initially, the album Cherry Pie was going to be called Uncle Tom's Cabin. And true or untrue, I've not done my research, and now you can kind of go back and look at that stuff. When we all gathered for the Cherry Pie tour in Jackson, Mississippi, with the Warrant, Trickster, and Firehouse, which was amazing, Janie Lane said this was one of the first times they had played the song live, and we all loved it. Couldn't wait. I guess they were with Motley then. Now that I think about it, yeah. The timing doesn't work. I'm getting old. They played Uncle Tom's Cabin to us in Jackson. And I saw them with Motley, and then it seemed like 6 months later, they were right back. They were great. But I love the acoustic intro to this one. And I love this song, Uncle Tom's Cabin. A song that tells a great story. Number 5, and I mentioned I kind of stayed away from classic rock. I could not exclude this song. Couldn't do it. And I love the Wilson Sisters. Many of you do as well. Anne and Nancy, love them. Had a huge crush on Nancy, as did most of you. You go back and watch a These Dreams video every once in a while, do you? But it's Crazy on You from Heart at number 5. Dig the track, love the vocal on it, but again, great acoustic intro to a great song. Number 3, excuse me, 4. I don't want to skip around here. I could have gone a lot of different directions because I wanted to get Metallica in here. There's so many songs out there that Kirk Hammett just absolutely lays down something that is just absolutely beautiful and remarkable. But I elected to go kind of old school here. You know, some of you are relatively new Metallica fans, thanks to Stranger Things, and you know, Master of Puppets, and maybe you know One, maybe you know Inner Sandman, maybe you know Unforgiven, I don't know. But this goes back to us real Metallica fans. Shout out to Jason Dawsey, first guy to turn me on to Metallica. And it's Battery, which was initially one of my favorite songs from Metallica. The acoustic intro to this is just absolutely harmonic. I love it. I love everything about it. Number 4, Metallica's Battery. Number 3, I could make a case this might be the best one. It just didn't move me emotionally like the songs ahead of it. I love Miles Kennedy. I think he is the best voice out there in modern rock. I love the fact that he can use the low register and still kind of get up. And he doesn't just do things that are operatic for the sake of doing them. They fit. The composition with everything that he does is just nearly perfect. New solo album coming out. I'm a huge Miles Kennedy guy. And you guys know what? Ironically, when I was moving to Starkville, I was on the way here. And Slash and Miles were in studio with Sirius XM Octane. I called in and got through and had a chance to speak to Slash and Miles. It's incredible. And so those guys are important to me. But this is their work together, Slash and Miles Kennedy and the New Conspirators. Great track called Anastasia. And there is a little bit of a flamenco feel to this, but Slash absolutely killed this. Number 2, probably the shortest acoustic intro in our list today. But I love this band. They have a huge following. They don't get a lot of airplay, and I think they prefer it that way. The fans don't like it, but you know, nowadays, if you don't have to listen to the radio, you can just go download the music yourself. I love this song. It was my gateway song to Coheed and Cambria. It's Welcome Home. We've had that on the show before. I absolutely dig it. I hope you guys do too. That's a band too. Like they put out like a comic book with every album, and it's a limited edition type deal. And these comic books, like the first couple comic books, like are on sale on eBay for like $1,000. That's how rabid their fan base is. They got to get their hands on that. But number one, and a song that means an awful lot to me, as I was reminded when I initially left this off the list, and I'm like, oh, that has to be number one. And I remember the very first time that I heard it, I was just a teenager, and riding around in my mom's car, you know, and I bought this great album from one of the greatest American rock bands ever. I'm talking about Tesla. They were kind of unfairly lumped in with the hair metal movement. Some people were like, hey, those guys, that time has passed. Nah, these guys have been rock and rollers from the beginning. They may have toured with some of those bands, but Tesla was kind of a cut above. They weren't really tied to a genre or a time. But The Great Radio Controversy is one of my favorite albums of all time. And it is the only album among my high school friends that everybody had. Like, you know, sometimes you trade tapes or trade CDs. We all love this album so much, everybody had to have their own copy. You know, I had a group of friends called we called ourselves Four Amigos, whatever, had our, you know, we always ran together. Everybody had it. And then all of our other friends, kind of that second tier friend group, you know, people that hang with you, but they're not like in the organization of the events, they all had copies of this record too. And if you don't have it, you should get it. But it's Love Song from Tesla. And Frank Hannon plays an incredible acoustic intro to this. And the thing that about this song, I have listened to this in the best of times and the worst of times. And every time it kind of gives me a little bit different message and makes me feel a little different way. But this is one of those songs that I think is timeless. I think it's a classic song. And we talk about power ballads and stuff. This is just an amazing love song. It's not really a power ballad per se. You know, it's not like, the Poison and Motley Crue stuff. It's different. And there's a part in the song, you know, even when I'm in the best of spirits, it always kind of gets to me because there is just such an authenticity. There's a genuine quality in Jeff Keith's voice, who I have met, had a chance to visit with a few times. Great guy. Got his autograph around here somewhere. I was such a Tesla fan. I had a 95 Toyota Camry, my first new car. And my license plate was Hang Tough. And some people said, oh, you like New Kids on the Block? And I'm like, no, I don't. It's Tesla, dork. And had a chance to get Tommy Skiach and Jeff Keith to sign it for me when I saw them when they were kind of on hiatus from Tesla. There were a band called Sofa King that eventually became Bar 7. And I had a chance to tell Jeff. I was like, you know, there's this part in the song that always gets to me. He goes, you know what? It gets to me too. And as you get to the end of the song, and Jeff Keith is singing to you, I know, I know. And sometimes that's all we need to hear and feel. Is it what we are experiencing pain-wise is not unique, you know? And of course, you kind of work that in. I know that someday you'll find love again. I know, you know, because we've been there. But an incredible song from an incredible band that they come through and play Philadelphia and Mississippi Gulf Coast like once a year. And so you owe it to yourself to go. I took Dana to see them at the Ryman a few years back. I had never been to the Ryman before. And I got to hear Tesla and some other guy play. And I can't even remember who he was. It didn't matter to me, because he was just kind of in my way of seeing Tesla. And what's interesting about that is the very first birthday gift that I ever bought my wife, way back in 1992, is I bought us tickets to see Tesla on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And they ended up canceling. And so we ended up getting, you know, refund back, and we got tickets to Pearl Jam, you know. But that's kind of how it all played out for us. You know, it's like, hey, she had never seen them because the band goes on hiatus. And, of course, I had seen them in different incantations, you know. But we had never seen the full band together as a couple. And so I surprised her and took her to Nashville to see Tesla. And I said, you know what, I'm glad you finally got to see Tesla. And how cool is it that we got to see it in the Ryman? There was one part, too, that Jeff Keith comes out with a cowboy hat on and said the ghost of Hank Williams told him to get back on stage. And maybe you were there. It was a great night to be in the mothership of America's music. Absolutely incredible to see them there, especially the acoustic part of the set. So there you go. and I've rambled on about this long enough. I say we're not going to go 90 minutes. I got to move on from this. But if you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is on social media. I'm on all forms of social media, at Scout Steve R, but I don't always see my notifications. Roy Samanthi, the keeper of the list, is at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. You can find our great list on Spotify under the same handle. Yeah. And we also have this thing going, Noah Kahn, I guess is the name, or Kane Kahn, and Supertramp. Like, I wanted to do Supertramp. He wanted to do Noah. Come to find out, my son Ian loves Noah, and I didn't know this, but I was informed today by the bride that we bought him two Noah Kane or Kahn sweatshirts for Christmas. Little did I know. Where was I when all this was going on? I didn't know how my money's being spent, right? But nevertheless, yeah. So last time that I checked, Noah was winning by just a little bit. I think Roy may be sandbagging a little bit. I'm just telling you, I think so. But anyway, it's been kind of fun to keep up with. And thanks for everybody that's kind of checked it out. Yeah, we'll see what happens. And so one of our more passionate members of our top 10 click messaged me and said, "Hey, you know, Steve, you know, like this." And so he's kind of going with Roy on this. And so we will continue to do his suggestions on a top 10 list. But I love talking music with you guys. Hope you guys enjoy both of those artists if you're unfamiliar. All right. Next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. If you're not familiar with Campus Bookmart, then shame on you. You should be. There's no better place to buy Mississippi State merchandise than Campus Bookmart. I would encourage you, next time you're in town, to go by and see their smiling faces. If you can't make it to town, or perhaps the trip to Starkville is a rare occurrence, you can still support a Starkville business, and we're always fans of that. Visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net, and by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. And as football season beckons, you need to have some new gear. Don't dig out that old dusty maroon is all that matters t-shirt and wear that thing. That thing is 20 years old now, okay? Let's get something fresh, and let's wear it out there and rep the program with pride. Okay, now everybody wants to know what's going on with Iva Arquette. That's the correct pronunciation, Iva. I got some clarification on that today. So for those of you that don't know, Iva Arquette, of course, was the second baseman at the University of Washington. He entered the NCAA transfer portal, and immediately everybody kind of projected that he was going to go to Texas A&M. Well, that hadn't worked out. A&M's no longer in the picture. The Final Four, we believe, are Oklahoma State, Arizona State, Oregon State, and Mississippi State. Now, I'm told that Arizona State's kind of fallen back and that Oklahoma State is still in the mix a little bit, but it looks to be down between Oregon State and Mississippi State. Now, a well-sourced, or reportedly well-sourced, poster on the Oregon State site for 247, Beaver Blitz, Angie Machado and them do a great job out there covering the Beavs, so that he's hearing it's going to be Mississippi State. Now, also, I have been in contact with Jake Hedberg out there, who covers Beaver baseball and other things for Oregon State's site on 247. And he has shared that that's what he's hearing, that it will be Mississippi State. Now, as of Monday night, there was not a decision made. Arquette, of course, still kind of working through things. And we hoped to have an answer today, and I was told this morning probably would be within 24 hours. So by the time you hear this show, we may have a decision. And even though the Oregon State people appear to be kind of conceding him to us, until it's official, it's nothing. Now, it's trending well, or it appears to be trending well, because, you know, typically I have never gone into these situations expecting to lose a kid and then get the kid. Right, and that's not just in baseball, it's in football too. You know, typically, if we get surprised, it is a positive surprise, or it could be like a Cortez Thomas thing, you know, on the football side. But I say that because I think it's important for you guys to understand, if Oregon State's already conceding, that tells me, or it suggests to me, that they have gotten information from sources that leads them to believe he will not be joining the Beaver baseball team. Now, they may be completely wrong. I have never dealt with this Jake Hedberg until the last week or so, you know, because of the fact that I'm, you know, hearing some things and kind of running down, comparing notes. So I don't know for sure, you know, how plugged in he is. But I can tell you that as of this evening, he had not communicated his commitment publicly to anybody. And I've been on this all day. To be honest with you, the only time that I really wasn't working the phones and trying to get some information for you guys about what Iva Arquette was going to do is when I was at football. And then, of course, putting football content up and spending some time on our message boards. But, you know, we'll see. It's very close, obviously. We've got about 2 weeks until fall classes begin. And so he's a guy that's got to make a decision soon and get some housing set up and things like that. We've already had some people moving in, you know, around Mississippi State. A lot of the kids have already kind of began to mosey way their way back to Starkville, looking forward to their classmates joining them. And so a lot of your portal transfer guys are already on campus, so we'll be here soon and are working out with your returning players. So the update is there really isn't an update other than the fact that our Oregon State peers are saying that they're expecting it to be Mississippi State. And again, I don't know how credible those folks are, but I do feel comfortable saying that they would not put something out there they did not believe to be true. Now, that's not to say that Oklahoma State is not still in the mix, because I have heard, even though that it was believed that it was down between Oklahoma State and Mississippi State, that Oklahoma State was still trying to persuade him to be a Cowboy and to be a Polk, you know. So one of the things you have to consider with all of this, and a lot of people say, well, NIL. Well, on the Oregon State side of things, I was told early on, hey, they were going to back up the Brinks truck. And then all of a sudden, whenever it was communicated to them what Mississippi State had offered, that they just felt like, you know what, if this thing boils down to NIL, we're not going to get him. And, you know, I don't know the details behind the deal. But I think with Oregon State's budgetary issues kind of on the horizon, with them no longer in a conference itself, you know, they're going to lose out on a big payday that'll happen, you know, this next academic year. And so, you know, how do you begin to kind of measure that up? What's the value in that? You know, now, that's not to say that they can't put together a schedule and go play some very competitive baseball. I certainly expect they will. Oregon State's big-time baseball. I mean, if people act like, hey, it's Oregon State, we should be able to crush them. You know, they got more national championships than we do. And have done a really good job developing players. And of course, you know, been some changes there in recent years. But you know, my point being is that nobody on the Mississippi State side should look down their nose at Oregon State. You may recall they knocked us out of the College World Series back in 2018 on their way to winning the national championship. So in many respects, it's kind of parallel programs when it comes to maybe prestige with this generation. From a facility standpoint, it's not close. From a fan base standpoint and fan support, it's not close. But you have to always ask yourself, too, is this young man ready to play on the big stage? Now, I would suspect the guy at 6'4", 220 pounds, that was an all Pac-12 selection or Pac whatever it was this year, is not a guy that's going to be scared of competition. So we'll see how things kind of play out. But by the time, you know, I'm recording this show, I was hoping that by this time that maybe we would have some direction one way or another. But I know that there are some Mississippi State fans that have gotten their hopes up saying, hey, we're going to get him, we're going to get him, we're going to get him. And I just tell you, until that there is a public declaration, there is no need to celebrate. Because if there hasn't been a public declaration, then there is still some recruiting going on. There could be a sweetening of the deal. Perhaps Oregon State's found some donors out there that are willing to donate to kind of sweeten their NIL offering. I don't know. But what I can tell you is that we are eagerly awaiting some news and some direction from him to kind of know where things go. And here's the thing. I think right now we're probably capable of making Omaha. I'm not saying that I expect us to make Omaha, but I think we're certainly capable just on the roster we have constructed this summer. I feel really good about our prospects next year of playing into the postseason and depending on matchups, potentially making a run. If you add Iva Arquette to the lineup, I think all of a sudden you're now expected to make Omaha. And I think that's what most of the National College Baseball media would tell you too, because one of the things, and one of our astute posters that is very involved with baseball said, you know, you add Arquette to the lineup, it allows everybody to kind of hit where they're supposed to. It adds some length, and you need as much power and athleticism as you could muster. And he's a guy that played primarily at second base at Washington. He does project to be a middle infielder, but he's also a guy that can play some third. I'm told he's athletic enough to play the outfield. And so when you get a guy like that, that's an important aspect of it, right? When you can add a potential first rounder to your roster, you always want to pursue that. Now, honestly, I believe if David Mershon had returned, I don't think this visit takes place. I don't think we're even having this conversation. I think we're just celebrating the return of David Mershon, and we're getting ready to go play fall ball, which will be a little bit later this year than it has been in recent years. But I, you know, with Dave Mershon and Travis Smith both opting to sign pro deals, I think that frees up some NIL money, for you to kind of go make a, a very competitive offer. Let's just kind of say it for what it is. But that's where things stand right now with Iva Arquette. And again, by the time that I get up, they're like, 5-6 hours behind us, depending on where you are in the South. You know, perhaps we'll know something then. Yeah, perhaps it will know something during the day. I was hoping to get this resolved today. Like I was hoping, because again, I'm getting on a plane in the morning. And so we will do our best. And to be honest with you, I've already got some things put together. So I am cautiously optimistic. But I'm certainly not ready to tell you that I expect Mississippi State to get him at this point, because until we know that all the suitors out there are ready to concede, you know, we have to be open to the possibility that the process still continues. But it can't linger on for much longer. I do believe that our staff has done a tremendous job kind of navigating through some very difficult circumstances here. You got to figure out, you know, what's going on with Dave Mershon. And if Dave Mershon's coming back, then you don't pursue this young man. But, of course, some would suggest, and I agree, you want as many talented players as you can get on your roster. You know, get the most talented guys out there, let them figure it out. Portal guys want to know they have a positional home, you know, before they make that decision. And you got to think too, like Reed Stallman is here. Of course, he can play some first base, he can DH, and probably even play some left field. But the rest of that question becomes, hey, he was expecting to be your everyday first baseman, and then Hunter Hines doesn't get drafted. You know, and so there are always some variables. There's always the unexpected with all this. It's been a good summer for Mississippi State. You add Arquette, I think you can say it's been a great summer for Mississippi State. And how many times have we gone through this, right? You know, Paul Skeens, we were a finalist. We didn't get him. He ends up going to one of our SEC peers. Last year, we were a finalist for Luke Coleman and Braden Montgomery. We get neither. And we end up going to some of our SEC peers. Now, of course, we took 2 out of 3 from LSU and beat Luke Holman. And, of course, Cal Steven had a better year, received more postseason accolades, and had a better draft position. And Braden Montgomery, of course, you add Braden Montgomery to this lineup. I mean, it may have been a historic season for Mississippi State, you know? Pretty crazy. And so you start thinking every year, you know, we're involved in some hotly contested portal battle for an elite player. And while we have done well in the portal, we haven't won that marquee matchup. And I think the staff in this program really needs to do so. And again, I can't guarantee at this point that's going to happen. There are a lot of people out there that have kind of got the cart before the horse. And I'm just going to caution you guys to let things play out. Because if there was a decision, a final decision, we would already know what it is. And so keep watching Gene's page, because I'll have the internet with me. I'll bring my laptop and that sort of stuff, and we'll make some things happen as best we can, and we'll articulate you the news as quickly as we have it, whether that be on Wednesday or hopefully not Thursday. I'm hoping we can get all this resolved and kind of remove it from topic of conversation. But, you know, our level of inconvenience, of course, is much more secondary to the construction of our roster and of course, hopefully a return to Omaha. We were looking forward to our 13th trip, because the last time we were there, we won the whole shoot match, right? And so that's the world in which we live right now, and there's just not a lot of direction, again, other than the fact that the Oregon State media now is suggesting and sharing that they are hearing from sources close to their program that it is going to be Mississippi State. Hopefully, they're correct. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Man, I love the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. My friends have used it. They say next time they're in the area, they're going to use it again. Said it met their needs, and there's a good chance it'll meet yours too. Five bedrooms, two bath, the old renovated clubhouse, the old country club, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, kind of neatly and quietly tucked away, you know, off of 182. Just got one neighbor out there. We encourage you to be respectful, but you're going to have some peace and quiet out there. It's a great place to go bring people if you just want to come enjoy Starkville, whether it's a ballgame weekend or not. Or perhaps you got a work crew. You're thinking, you know what, hey, I'd love to be able to have everybody under one roof. Not to mention, you're probably saving some money, but saving yourself some inconvenience too. Instead of having people scattered all over the county and you never know where Bob is, you know, everybody can go out and buy some groceries and perhaps cook in a full-service kitchen there. There's a wet bar. Always that great back porch area. I tell you, it's a great place to just kind of sit and unwind and relax a little bit. And then, of course, you've got the fire pit area out there too. And every conversation's a bit more meaningful around a fire. I don't make the rules. That's just how things go. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook page is going to pop up for you, and you're going to be able to pick through and kind of see the pictures of all the amenities that are available to you. In addition to that, too, will be some booking options. You can book through Airbnb or VRBO. But if you want to save some money, let me encourage you, use the Evolve website. I got a promo code for you to give some incentive for you to do that. It's promo code BSR10, BSR10, and that'll get knocked 10% off your stay just by being a listener to this show. Again, that's the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, promo code BSR10. Okay, everything is now finalized with the book. Everything is being pushed out to print. And so it's not going to be back, but it'll be the end of August. We're expecting a September release date. Once I have that, we'll share that with you. If you hadn't done so, go to dutynumblebook.com, and you can pre-order the book. All copies through the website will be signed. All of my sports titles are there as well, and there's very limited quantities of villains and alpha dogs. If you don't have those, you need to act quickly. And every Bulldog deserves a copy of Dog Pile. And, you know, Christmas is coming up, too. You got your smarmy Ole Miss brother-in-law or boss or whoever. Could be a good gag gift. But make sure you read it first so you can read the truth about what really happened with all that stuff. Not to mention the in-state media being complicit in the cover-up of an in-state school being investigated by the NCAA, and how at every single turn they rejected the information that I provided them, and then ultimately were proven to be incorrect in their decision not to publish. And it's so interesting, too. I even had somebody, too, that a name that you all know, used to cover sports in Mississippi. After they departed from here, they told that their successor, hey, don't listen to Steve Robertson. Don't listen to him. He'll lead you on these wild goose chases and just be a waste of your time. He's an agenda guy, right? And it's interesting how life has worked out in that respect. And I remember, too, Casey Lott's my attorney. I don't know if you guys know Casey. Casey, a phenomenal guy. And, you know, Casey represented me. And after I won the case with the Ethics Commission to force Ole Miss to release the notice of allegations, and, of course, once we took them to court, like, oh, we really wanted to do this. We always wanted to put it out here. Well, if you did, you would have, right? You only did it until you were compelled to do so. But I couldn't go out there and argue my case in the Hinds County Chancery Court or before the Mississippi Supreme Court. Casey handled all that stuff for us. If you're looking for a lawyer, please choose Casey. He has been so incredibly good to me and fair to me. But as we worked through all that stuff, there were some people on the Ole Miss side, of course, that had some things to say. And Casey said prior to a hearing, he said, hey, it was your denials that made Steve a cult hero. If you guys had just done your job, then Steve would just be a recruiting guy. But instead, you know, Steve's out here telling the truth while you guys are trying to cover it up. It meant a lot to me for him to say that, but also in addition to that, too, I think that proved to be true. You know, if everybody involved just told the truth, there's no telling where we'd be today, right? Would there even be, you know, the Boneyard as big as we are today? Would that be the case? I don't know. You know, it reminds me a little bit, too. It's like the old Robert Elliott thing, you know, Leo Lewis thing. I kept telling everybody, you know, they're going to be Bulldogs in the end. Just relax, you know. And Robert Elliott, you know, the Ole Miss media fought me tooth and nail. And even though Robert tore his ACL and didn't have the career we'd hoped, that really kind of catapulted me to a different level of recognition within the fan base, because people were like, hey, Steve Robertson told us for months Robert Elliott was going to be Bulldog. And I remember some people in the industry, they were like, Steve just got to give it up. It's not going to happen, not going to happen, not going to happen. Well, it happened. And that's kind of how this Ole Miss thing played out too. People were like, I remember so many people in the Ole Miss media that tried to take your good friend and host to task and say that I didn't know what I was talking about. And then ultimately, they're the ones that kind of humbly bowed and accepted whatever unholy sacraments at the altar of Ole Miss were offered to them. And in the end, I think that's a tough thing to live with. I mean, the story of your career, and you end up being basically a propaganda piece, for the university that you cover. And one of the biggest scandals, if not the biggest scandal in the history of Mississippi University athletics. How about that? So be sure and check that out. And listen, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to upload the show. I don't know when the Boneyard article will be done. Maybe I'll do it in the morning before I leave for the airport. But hey, think of us. We'll be traveling. And again, your weekend show will be recorded on Saturday. We'll be getting back late on Friday. And looking forward to a little R&R as we head out to the True Rest convention out in San Antonio. We'll bring some good knowledge back and do what we can to kind of help you guys, That's kind of part of the deal, right? Continue to learn the tricks of your trade. And so we'll be closed for a couple days, and then we'll be back. And again, you can call 662-268-7601 or just download the True Rest app. Visit us on truerest.com and get more information. Everybody needs to float. Whether you've got anxiety in your life or chronic pain, we may be able to help you. It's helped me tremendously. And I encourage everybody to come give it a shot, because you never know. It may cure what ails you too, right? If nothing else, maybe just kind of give you some relief from all that stuff. And so come be a part of our family over at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. That's it. We'll see you guys on Saturday. I will be around the message boards. I'm not going to be, hiding out, even though I'll be in San Antonio. I know my job follows me everywhere I go. So I will provide updates on the Arquette situation and anything else that breaks over the next couple of days. And then we'll be back in the home office here in Starkville and be ready to go. But, we'll be flying out. And, again, I'm not a great flyer, but I do fly better with Dana. She jokes. She said, yeah, because I remind you how silly you're being. But I don't know. Maybe I've got control issues. Maybe I want to fly the plane. Not going to happen, though. Hey, but until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.